nation that is hostile to liberty and freedom and faith. We are a nation whose economy is floundering, whose stores are not stocked, whose deliveries are not coming, and whose educational system is ranked at the bottom of every list. We are a nation that in many ways has become a joke. But soon we will have greatness again. It was hardworking patriots like you who built this country, and it is hardworking patriots like you who are going to save our country. There is no mountain we cannot climb. There is no summit we cannot reach. There is no challenge we cannot beat. There is no victory we cannot have. We will not bend. We will not break. We will not yield. Ever, ever, ever. We will never give in, we will never give up, and we will never, ever back down. We will never let you down. As long as we are confident and united, the tyrants we are fighting do not stand even a little chance. Because we are Americans, and Americans kneel to God and God alone. And it is time to start talking about greatness.
Good morning, and welcome to everyone tuning in from wherever you're watching. It's Saturday, October 29th, 2022. Welcome to our Saturday edition of the Great Steak Breakfast, episode 6. I'm Roan. Noah's here.
Yo.
Our good friend Alan Jacoby, the host of The Great Divide, is with us.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Saturday.
Before we get started, we can't forget to mention some of our great partners, namely MyPillow. Listen, everybody likes sleep. We all don't get enough of it. Why not enjoy it in a luxurious fashion? You enter promo code STEAK at checkout at MyPillow.com, and you're going to get big, big savings. If you're more of a morning person, let's say you like a little coffee, like Wendell's dropped that as well. You enter promo code STEAK there, you're getting 25% off your order. MyPillow.com/STEAK for anything sleep-related, and MyStore.com/STEAK for all of the breakfast-related materials. You know, you can always talk to a qualified pillow representative as well. 1-800-658-8045 is the number. Speaking of Alan, he's finally launched the Patriot Cigar Company, aged tobacco from the fields of Nicaragua, right next to where Mike Lindell picks his coffee beans.
Neighbors.
Premium smoke. Four different selections so far. We've got deliciousness on tap. Noah, rate it.
10.
Oof. Out of? Wow.
9.
Oh, okay. I like it. You enter promo code STEAK here. You're getting 15% off your total order. All orders over $100. It's going to be free shipping, and every order is going to have a $10 e-gift card.
We have a batch of Moabs in the humidor in the studio now.
And actually, if you act now and buy a whole box, you'll get the We the People trucker hat for free if you buy a box of cigars, plus free shipping, plus the $10 e-gift card. So while supplies last, the We the People trucker hats will be going out with all full boxes.
Well, I guess I have to order more now.
There you go. MyPatriotCigars.com is the website, a premium smoke for freedom-loving patriots. Guys, good morning. It's our Saturday edition of the show today. Coming off a big week. Alan, I don't know if you caught any of our show or at least saw our guest lineup yesterday. It kind of spiraled out of control, much to Noah's dismay.
It wasn't too bad. It was a quick edit.
But the content was good. We originally had scheduled Leora Levy. She was in there yesterday. She's a senatorial candidate. Trump endorsed America First in Connecticut. She's pulled within 2 points of the margin of error on Dick Blumenthal up there. They're going to have a debate this week. We also had Sarah Weaver, one of our great friends, a reporter for the Daily Caller. That's Tucker Carlson's news outlet right there. But then over the course of the 24 hours heading into the show, we had Doug Mastriano's team reach out and said he was launching a new day one crime policy plan that he wanted to talk about. Of course, we're going to have Doug in. We're so close to the start of Dougvember.
Doug can crash anytime.
Dougvember.
And we got everything out of him. He endorsed Dougvember. We got two oh yeahs, and he talked about how much he loved the show. So that was a win there. Vish Burra, who we're all friends with in the real world, said he wanted to drop some hot takes on some of the things going on. He actually came back and what would you call it, Noah? He repented for once not being an Oz enjoyer.
Oh, yeah.
And then talked about the importance of the midterms. And last, and certainly not least, I'm getting ready to head to the studio yesterday. Of course, I've got War Room on the television because I need to see which of our guests are going to be appearing on the show before we go and record with them.
Poachers.
And would you just imagine that on the phone, one of my great friends, Kash Patel, is there giving hot takes on media lies and a new New York Times hit piece that they did on Steve Bannon and Kash Patel. Basically, the gist of it was they wrote an article that said when everyone was ushered out after the midterms in 2018, the adults left. So they called Steve Bannon the adults. Now they call him like every fucking bad name under the sun. And the children came in, the Kash Patels, and, you know, helped, you know, continue the fire that Bannon started. So I texted Kash and I said, can we just get a little bit, anything, hot take? And he's like, you just did the Adam Lexall bus tour. You slept on a bus for a week. What could we get? And he's like, give me the phone number. I'm calling in right now. And lo and behold, we took a pee break. And before Antoinette could come back on our show yesterday, we're in the middle of a conversation with Cash and we end the interview. And she's like, how did that happen? It's like, magic.
We gotta get Cash to drop the steak for breakfast on War Room once. Didn't Boris do that one time?
Twice.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So, I bet you, you know, Steve Bannon had a little bit of he had a TIA when he heard steak for breakfast. He's like, somebody watch it. Who are they having on? Let's get him.
Great, John, we're talking to you.
Oh,
but no, welcome everybody. It's been a busy week. We're now 10 days before people will go to the ballot box and make their decision on whether or not we've decided to referendum Joe Biden and his attire. America Last Agenda at the ballot box on November 8th. Alan, you'll be joining us as part of our big election night extravaganza. We've already got some guests locked in. I don't know if you've heard because we just announced it on the show yesterday. So Christina Bob will be reporting live from Michigan. Mike Crispy, who's doing his own show, will be jumping back and forth with us. Yep. Eric Knight, who manages just about everybody in MAGA world, and Kash Patel has also agreed to call in from whichever state he's in. He might be in Nevada. He might be in Arizona. But we will get these guys on the show on election night. In addition to more, I mean, I've got a lot of begging to do between now and Tuesday, November 8th, but we'll get it done.
It looks like Dr. Cordy Williams is going to make an appearance and give us some hot takes on what's going on, and working on Grant Stinchfield, waiting to hear back from him. So we should have a lot of people bouncing in and out. It's going to be great producing that one, the great steak election special.
I'll tell you what, at any rate, it'll be better than our 2020 election night show, which started out solid and ended with it was like, what do they call that stuff? AMR?
There was a lot of silence.
And a lot of Nick eating in the microphone.
Yeah.
We're going to have to strap in. I mean, that's probably going to be a three plus hour banger between the guests and the commentary and watching the polls. I mean, I'm going to have my pee bottle ready. You know, you guys are lucky. You're not on camera. You can bounce in and out anytime you want, but, I'm gonna tough it out, and it's gonna be a good show. I'm telling a lot of people about it, and people are already like, oh, I can't wait to watch. You know, we'll be Rumble, Getter, the Patriot Podcast Network on Facebook. We're gonna be on election night like broken glass. We're gonna be everywhere.
Yeah, it's much to the dismay of a lot of the dry sex commentary that'll be going on that night too. We know
there'll be a lot of that.
Oh man, he's lurking, believe me. But it was a very busy week. I think the thing that probably, we're so close to the midterms right now, it's really hard to spin the narrative anything other than that. You know, whether you talk about like crime, the economy, inflation, gas prices, your children's school, the trans agenda, you name it, it gets spun. Abortion, unfortunately, everything gets spun into the midterms. However, Elon Musk went and did his thing this week. He closed the deal with Twitter a day early, finalizing on Thursday. You know, we all saw him graciously walk into Twitter headquarters with the sink. And
that was great.
Yeah. But as it did begin to sink in at Twitter headquarters, it was fun watching everybody get fired. And no one was safe, from the CEO and the CFO of Twitter to a whole bunch of data analysis and staffers. In addition to even the one Elon Musk tweeted out yesterday, we saw Ligma Johnson, the dynamic duo, escorted out of the building with their cardboard boxes.
Was that guy's name really Ligma, or was that Ligma?
One guy's last name was Ligma and the other guy's last name was Johnson. And
Jesus.
Yeah. So it was amazing to see Elon Musk capture that in a tweet and you know, say Ligma Johnson had it coming.
Ligma Johnson.
You know that guy got fired just because of his name.
Oh, I want to call Twitter headquarters and ask, yeah, is Mr. Johnson there? Mr. Ligma Johnson? And just see if somebody says it.
Well, no, it was two different people. One's person, one name. Yeah.
Part about it was, if you look at the actual tweet from Elon Musk, you have Ligma standing on the left and then you have Johnson standing on the right, and right behind them there's a huge, I don't know if it's like an Indian trans person, and the book sticking out of their box is the Michelle Obama memoirs.
Wait, was that the guys on the street that were talking to the news cameras?
Yeah, with cardboard boxes of all their belongings. Yeah,
you know, they were trolls, right? They weren't real employees. They're the people that they were interviewing. Some of the, they had trolls show up with, one guy was like, I'm so distraught. I have to get home to my wife and husband. Like the news media thought there were actual employees outside of Twitter headquarters holding their belongings. And they ended up being trolls just showing up, messing with the media.
Oh, so his name wasn't really Ligma.
No, and I think that that might have, I don't know if that was the real name. So now it might be confused. Maybe I'm confused now, but there were definitely trolls. And I think that was one of them, Ron, where he was holding the book. And I didn't watch the whole thing, but I saw a quick clip of him saying, yeah, he has to get home to his wife and husband. And they were all acting like, we can't believe we got fired and they won't let us in and all this nonsense. And the news, the media out there was eating it up like they were real Twitter employees. It weren't.
You did see the girl TikTok video, like her day in the life of a Twitter employee this week, right?
Yeah.
That was absolute cancer. Everything from the, what is that game called where you throw the beanbag in the
cornhole?
Cornhole on the rooftop or down to the on tap winery that they have in the cafeteria.
I don't even know what this room is, but it's really cool.
Did you see the picture of Elon is standing there talking to everybody and the woman, I forget her name, she's the attorney. She was on Joe Rogan. She was instrumental on getting Donald Trump's Twitter account banned. The look of despair and death stare that she had. It's like you could see half of her face staring at Elon Musk, right, I guess, before she was fired. The picture is great.
Vagina God?
Yeah, Vajayjay God.
Yeah, Vajayjay God. She's definitely not the god of Vajayjay, that's for sure.
No, certainly not. Well, Tucker Carlson weighed in on this because we did do a little bit of, you know, we like to unpack for our listenership. This isn't so much about releasing everybody back onto Twitter, creating a free speech platform. There's also some very nefarious things that have been going on Twitter for a really long time from some of the top tiers of our federal agencies, the CIA, the FBI, things like that, running counterintelligence, probably, you know, facets of the military who are in there and the Department of Defense. Darren Beatty broke it down with Tucker Carlson two nights ago, and he continued that narrative, you know, talking about the censorship aspect of it. Let's hear it.
Democrats pulled a sitting president off Twitter. Now, apparently, he's running again. So how could you possibly defend censoring that candidate, Donald Trump? If you support democracy, are you really going to argue that a presidential candidate can't talk? They're going to have to argue that. They're going to have to say that in public. What's that conversation going to look like? The Biden administration is in trouble because of this.
Yep.
Everything depends for them on censorship. Everything. They're going to do everything they can to shut Twitter down again. And they're going to do their best to destroy its new owner. And Elon Musk must know that. He's doing it anyway. And that's the definition of bravery. People assume always that billionaires can afford to be bold. You can do whatever you want. You're rich. But the opposite is true, actually. Look around. How many brave billionaires are there? Not many. Why? Because the more you have, the more you have to lose. There's no such thing as FU money. There's only FU poverty.
Yep.
That's true.
The richest man in the world is risking it all to save free speech. Whatever you think of Elon Musk and however this ends, that's a remarkable thing to watch.
Yeah, it certainly is. And, you know, ever since a month or two ago when we had that, first there was the meeting at the Trump DC golf course. We had Trump, his sons, Dan Scavino, Devin Nunes, Kevin McCarthy, Jim Banks, a couple other people. They met after that. Oh, Devin Nunes was there with Newt Gingrich. We saw the Commitment to America rolled out a week later from, you know, Kevin McCarthy and the House Republicans. And then you had, you know, just some other stuff. You know, we had that event at Mar-a-Lago where they had the Saudi sponsored golf tournament there where it was like TG and Tucker Carlson and Donald Trump had some private time together. And it seems like ever since that week or so of rehuddling right before they hit the midterm election home stretch, the narrative has all shifted. You've seen Rick Scott come to the forefront of the possibility of Senate leadership, and if not, at least forming a coalition that's going to fight Mitch McConnell in the Senate next year. You've seen Tucker Carlson go way back to America First. We've played clips on the show over the last week or so. Noah, how many times has Tucker Carlson pseudo questioned 81 million votes? At least three different clips that we've played.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah. So, and it's just one of those things where he understands as one of the leading pundits, one of the largest voices in America. I mean, even his newest documentary that's coming out, he did have the one with the raw egg nationalists, The Fall of Man, which was awesome. I actually, you know, paid to watch it and thought it was really good. Mm-hmm. It was good to hear Ren narrate about at least half of that thing. And now he's got the one coming out with Blake Masters, where he kind of has bought into the fact that these young, diverse, unattached to politics candidates that are running in this midterm election are going to be the new face of the GOP, a more sensible and nationalist face of the GOP. And it's good to see Tucky come back on board, because after the 2020 election, there was the bad taste in everyone's mouth from what happened on January 6th, regardless of what anybody thinks of it. And then the whole really bad presentation, the Jenna Ellis's, Sidney Powell's, Rudy Giuliani's rolled out there and just tried to throw everything at the dartboard instead of literally going into looking some of the specifics we've come to learn were factors in the 2020 presidential election right thereafter.
Too fast, too soon, they all were.
Yeah, it was like everybody cheated everywhere, and literally they did in like their own little ways, but there was a better way to have presented it, and like Absolute Maniacs was not it in retrospect. You know, we all understand and are in the know that the 2020 presidential election was rigged and stolen, but there were so many different components working together, everything from the Time article to the 2000 mules to the Zuckerbucks, but it was so many other little things down at the grassroots level. Yeah. It was just not cleaning voter rolls. It was not having poll watchers. It was not having people, you know, actually certifying the polls in places where we should have had Republicans there. And we've corrected a lot of it. There's still a long way to go. I mean, we've seen places like Arizona, who is probably the best example of what happened in the 2020 presidential election wrongly, still go and say, you know what, we're just not going to pass these voter integrity laws. So it's going to take a lot more work before 2024, but I think we're off on the right track. What do you think, Alan?
We need, you know, also the messaging right now going into the midterms and beyond is important. And we were talking about this yesterday on Freedom Friday. I was talking about it with James and Bobby Sauce Alito, also known as Bobby Sauce. The importance of the messaging and marketing now that we all know what happened in 2020. We all know. But, you know, it comes a point now where when you keep instilling that the election was stolen, which we know it was. I'm not debating that. We know it was. But the messaging, because Democrats, the left, are very, very good and tactful with their messaging and pushing it. So we need to be also, and the messaging needs to be, listen, we need to get out and vote. Because if we keep saying, oh, well, you know, they're just going to cheat, rig, and steal again, we know that already. But the people that are on the fence about if they want to bother taking the time to go out and vote, because there are still a lot of people that think that way, unfortunately, mm-hmm. that we need to push them over the edge to say, no, we need to overwhelm and break the algorithms of cheating, I guess you could say, to put it. We yeah. need the numbers. We have to overwhelm and get our asses out to vote. It's important. Forget about, oh, they're going to lie. We know it. We know it. It's done. We don't have to mention it again, because there's nothing we're going to do right now to prevent them from attempting to do that, for to doing it. We're not even going to prevent it. They're going to do it. So we have to overwhelm them and break it so we can't. I'm not that just brings me to the early voting thing. I'm not a big fan of it. We have an election day, not an election season. I don't like the fact that so many people already voted in Pennsylvania. I don't like the fact that so many people voted already in this country.
Right, yeah, well, showing cards.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like Pennsylvania already talking about it. It's going to take days to count. I don't like that there are so many people that are voting by mail and early voting, both Democrats and Republicans in Florida. And I think as of this morning right now, early voting between in-person early voting and mail-in voting, I think Republicans are leading by party, obviously affiliation, registration, by like 60,000 votes. I mean, that doesn't mean that there aren't Democrats that are voting, say, for Ron DeSantis or vice versa, but it's I don't like that. Ron, I don't know what your take is on the early voting. I just despise it. And I actually have Republicans say, no, it's going to help us. And I totally disagree with that.
Well, just to put it in perspective, the number one Google search in the category of politics following the Dr. Oz John Fetterman debate this week was, how do I change my vote if I've already mailed it in? So,
wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen.
How do you do that?
We understand, especially if you live in places like the Blue Wall States and the Northeast, it's getting to that time of year where weather just gets miserable. But you got to think, once every 2 years, you go out there and you make a difference to improve your life. Right. Everybody has sick leave. Everybody, a lot of places are flexible with paid time off, or at least excused from work to participate in voting, because it is a constitutional right. And you just need to take into consideration where we're at right now. You can't do anything bad to vote that don't show up until election day.
And I'm sorry, but there's no excuse to not go out and vote. Is this country not worth you losing a day's pay to make the rest of your life, or at least the next 2 years or the next 4 years, better? Is it not worth eating the day's pay, or sick leave, or emergency leave, whatever it is, vacation leave, or just not getting paid for that day? There is nothing else I can think of that's more important than getting out to vote, especially in the situation that we are in as Americans. There's nothing more important. Nothing.
Yeah, it's going to cost you longer in the long run if this shit keeps up.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what's going on with your kids' grades, and if you want them to focus on their grades, are they having, you know, tranny, you know, story time hour there, and then the price of gas and what's going to cost to fuel your home or heat your home this winter. You also, you know, have how much of your 401k or retirement have you lost? Is this
401ks now?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, exactly. It's the truth. The average American family has lost $45,000 of personal wealth over the course of the last 2 years. And those are the ones who really don't play the market. Right. All the rest of us are screwed. So, but yeah, there's a lot of crime rampant. Is it even safe to go outside of your house? I mean, we continue to see it every week, you know, people getting thrown downstairs in Democrat ran major cities, mugged, robbed at gunpoint in front of their kids, murdered, thrown onto subway tracks by people who just belong in institutions.
Carjacked in your driveway in the suburbs.
Yep.
Coming home when you're getting followed home from a takeout place. That happened literally over the summer, like four blocks from me. And I live in a great neighborhood, and literally people from out of town followed this woman home from the taco takeout place. Followed her into her driveway, approached her, and boom, jacked her Mercedes right there in the driveway. Thank you. Here's a gun in your face. Oh, you can keep your tacos. She got to keep the tacos, but she lost the Benz.
They breakfast tacos?
Hi, Poppy.
You know, there was a funeral recently this week in Philadelphia where there was a drive-by shooting outside, which caused mass chaos. I also saw just on Twitter overnight there was a fight between people in one of these cities. It could have been Chicago, New York, or Philadelphia. I don't really remember off the top of my head. But, one of the guys fighting got beat up. As soon as he hits the ground, everybody starts kicking him. His girlfriend goes and straddles his head. Brutal. So they couldn't protect him. And somebody just walks up and pistol whips her in the face and knocks her out.
Knocks her. Well, I think it was like one hit. I don't know if he had it. It was a pistol or his fist. And she was out for the count. Like, this is the world we're living in right now. You know, thank you, Democrats. And then you have Kathy Hochul literally saying at the debate, I don't understand why crime is so important to you. Why is it so important to you? Mm. Like, really? Nobody
tried to murder Kathy Hochul or shoot her kids accidentally in a drive-by shooting over the course of her campaign season this year. But it's staying in the thread of the midterms right now and jumping into some of these candidates we heard from this week. Tucker led in on what we've always talked about, the great diversity and depth of this new Republican class, all of his favorites. Let's hear him kind of lead us in before we get into the individual races.
Carlson, tonight a lot has been written about the corruption of politicians. You've seen that before. But really not enough has been said about how unbelievably boring they are in person. That's the main thing you notice when you have dinner with them. Their main interest is themselves. That's what they talk about. It's all they can talk about. And it's very tedious. Narcissism always is tedious. And so one of the great and happy and unexpected surprises of this cycle is how many interesting people are running around the country. People with something to say that isn't necessarily about them. People who have interest beyond just accumulating more power.
Imagine that.
J.D. Vance in Ohio, Carrie Lake and Blake Masters in Arizona, Joe Kent in Washington State, Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. None of these people has been in politics before. All of them seem to be listening to voters, listening, not just talking. And amazingly, all of them could win on November 8th. And if they do, that's a huge problem for the Democratic Party and for the people in charge more broadly. It's a potential disaster. It's one thing to elect more Mitch McConnells, tame Republicans who know what the rules are. The first rule, of course, is you must lose. People like that will play along as they faithfully have for decades. But what would happen if someone like Blake Masters or J.D. Vance wound up in the U.S. Senate? That would be disruptive. These are not people who care about secret partisan arrangements or even about partisan affiliation. They might actually try to change the country for the better. So if you're benefiting from the current disaster, that's a scary prospect. But no one running for office right now is quite as scary to people like that as Carrie Lake. She's running for governor of Arizona. like maybe the most skillful communicator in American politics right now.
Yes.
But most terrifying of all, she spent 30 years in television news. So when Carrie Lake says the media are corrupt, she's not guessing. She lived right in the middle of it for decades. This is a deeply unsettling message for Democrats to hear because it strikes at the heart of their power. Without the complicity of the media, there is no chance neoliberal Democrats could get elected to office. Not one of them ever. Carl,
what do you think?
Yeah. If it wasn't them laying down cover fire, there's no way.
Yeah.
Alan, you've tracked our journey pretty much over the course of the last 2 years, especially with a lot of these candidates and in a lot of these people now who are appearing regularly on cable news and legacy media. A lot of the ones that Tucker Carlson named off the bat there, a lot of them started their journeys on this show. You know, we talked about with Carrie Lake just a week ago when she was on, and you know, she said she at the time she was like in her 507th day of, you know, running her campaign, and Steak for Breakfast was there at day five.
Right.
You know, with a long interview that kind of unpacked her entire platform for our listenership. And it was one of our, I think, best received shows we've ever done. And her interviews have just kind of evolved into where she's at now, to where she's almost polished politician before she's even, you know, won the victory there in Arizona.
Yeah, I would say she speaks like a polished politician. Obviously, her days in media and her years in media have helped her with that. But I don't see anybody out there that is articulate as her, especially with responding to the mainstream media and the propaganda that they throw at her. She is on her feet at every step of the way. She has not stumbled. She has not Joe Biden gaffed. She is an unbelievable communicator. And you watch, there's some footage out there of recently of her speaking to the press, and you see the facial expressions of the reporters' faces. I always pay attention to that. And there was a couple like, wow, you know, just her their eyebrows raised, like they couldn't believe the responses they were getting out of someone running for an office like governor of Arizona, which she's going to go places. I think she's going to have a massive victory in Arizona because I don't think her opponent can come back from the nonsense and ridiculous career that she's had. And it's important. And I think she'll move beyond at some point. I think she has a bright future in politics and possibly on the federal level at some point. You know, you never know that she could be White House material someday, you know?
And I
want to say something because we're on, you know, governor races, and we talk about Doug Mastriano, and you have Lee Zeldin and Carrie Lake. These governor races, I think, are pivotal to everybody in the country. Just because you don't live in that state, the governor races are as important, if not more important, than the federal races, because a lot comes with that, working with the federal government, working state to state, and especially in Arizona. I'm sorry, I'm in New York, and I consider myself and every state in the union a border state. It is. And I think someone with Carrie Lake at the helm, not so much Greg Abbott, but with Carrie Lake at the helm, I think she will help a lot with the unsecure border that we currently have. And we need that. Every state needs Carrie Lake to be governor of Arizona, just like I believe every state needs Doug Mastriano to be governor of Pennsylvania. And the same with Lee Zeldin and Ron DeSantis. So, you know, you have Tudor Dixon. I mean, there are a lot of great candidates out there. Roan, you know better than anybody. You know, you live and breathe this, and you're paying attention more than anybody I know. It's important. The governor races are extremely important.
They certainly are, especially when you want to go back to some of the standard issues in between election cycles like abortion. It's going to be a major factor for a lot of people who, you know, protecting the sanctity of life is that important to them. Did you guys see the haymaker that Carrie Lake landed overnight last night on Liz Cheney, who went and began actively campaigning against her in Arizona?
That was a great letter.
I'm going to read the press release right now for all our watchers who missed it yesterday. This came out last night after her event with Blake Masters. Dear Liz, thank you for your generous in-kind contribution to my campaign. Your recent television ad urging Arizonians not to vote for me is doing just the opposite. Our campaign donations are skyrocketing and our website nearly crashed from the traffic as people rush to learn more about my plan for Arizona First and join our historic political movement. In fact, my team tells me that your commercials should add another 10 points to our lead. I guess that's why they call the Cheney anti-endorsement the gift that keeps on giving. While we appreciate your kind donation of $5,000 ad buy, that likely exceeds Arizona's $500,000 ad buy. It likely exceeds Arizona's $5,300 individual contribution limit. Thank you again for the huge boost to our campaign. I enjoyed your forced retirement from politics. I know America will rest easier knowing that one more warmonger is out of office. Sincerely, Carrie Lake, P.S., make Arizona great again.
It's amazing.
I mean,
there's been very few candidates who have run flawless races. I think we talked about it on our show yesterday. I have to say Lee Zeldin is one of them. He has so little margin for error. He goes one inch in the wrong direction and he could lose that, you know, wave he's getting. But on the other side, I think Doug Mastriano's super surging. Like, you check him out anytime on his Facebook lives, there are hundreds of people at his event. And he has really mobilized a grassroots movement that's different than something like Carrie Lake's, who's been more of the big end of MAGA. It's just different types, but there have been very few candidates. I think Carrie Lake is one of them too, that has run a near flawless race, and it's going to definitely pay off moving down.
Back to Carrie Lake's southern border stuff.
Sure.
If she manages to lock down the border in Arizona, and with Texas, you know, fairly locked down, can you imagine what's going to happen in California?
No. Well, yes.
I mean, it's going to be the carpool lane of immigration.
You did see, because of the fear of the Republicans winning back control of the House or Senate, there are several more migrant caravans already on the way here. So looking to be a very busy winter season. Speaking of the cold weather, Alaska held their ranked choice voting candidate-a-thon debate yesterday. Oh. Yeah, we saw one of our favorites, Sarah Palin. She was up on stage. They tried to hit her from every direction. If it wasn't the candidates, it was the moderators trying to make her an election denier, tying her to Donald Trump. She actually put her foot down at some point because they tried to, you know, tie her to January 6th and all the stuff that's going on there. Let's hear her response to the moderator when he tried to pin it on her.
The January 6th committee voted unanimously to subpoena former President Donald Trump. In your opinion, did they make the right decision? And do you believe that Trump committed any crimes in regard to the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol?
How is this even
45 seconds for this question? And Ms. Palin, you are first.
Of course.
Knowing President Trump as I do, he's probably saying, bring it on, subpoena away, because he has nothing to hide. And no, I don't believe that he committed a crime. I think that the media and those who are obstructionists to so much of what Trump represents, I believe that they just want to hang on to this thing and keep stirring it up. They got to hang on to something, because it can't be his policies that they slam and that they are against. Look what his policies did for our country. We didn't have inflation. We didn't have the 2 million illegal aliens crossing the border with the fentanyl and all the problems that they're bringing. We didn't have so many of the problems that we face today. So what are they going to do to disparage him and his supporters like me? They're going to make that.
Yeah, she dropped a couple heaters. She also had a really good one on.
I thought somebody said apparatus for a second.
You just did.
You just did. You
know, they actually tried to call her like a COVID denier as well, and she just put her foot down there as well. And she said, you want to know what? At the end of the day, in retrospect, there isn't a sane person out there who can't look at the whole COVID thing. When you talk about the mandates, the firings, the vaccines, and what it did to the children, COVID was about control. It was not about a virus. And she actually got a pretty good response from the audience there. I mean, there's a lot of people who lost a lot regarding, you know, their just well-being and overall sanctity of mind during the course of the pandemic. And so many people haven't recovered from it yet. So I thought she did fairly well there. And we got to keep in mind, Alaska is still Steak for Breakfast rating. Remember, the only podcast in the country that covers every single Trump rally, soup to nuts. It's the only nine of the election season so far. That was probably the most raucous and interactive crowd that he gone to. And he was really dialed in. You got to remember, that's where he dropped the inner cavern line. And
I forgot about that one.
It went right over the audience's head, too. And he said it. Taking it back down to one of our battleground states of Arizona, though, I saw a nice little hit piece on Blake Masters kind of blown up in their face by fake news CNN. They're terrified of the amount of Latino walkaways in this midterm election cycle. Not only do we have so many great amazing candidates running, you got the big three down in the Texas Del Rio sector over there, you got the Yesley up in Virginia 7, and it looks like they're really turning it on. However, Blake Masters has done something that a lot of candidates sometimes just refuse to do when it comes to courting walkaways and Latino voters. Let's hear it.
Arizona, where Latinos have made up nearly one in five voters in recent elections. Yes. Republican Senate nominee Blake Masters is forging into Democratic territory by opening field offices in predominantly Latino neighborhoods.
So smart.
People are sick of this, right? You make energy expensive, you make everything expensive.
Masters' economic and social message resonates with voter Cynthia Hernandez.
They assume I'm Catholic and a Democrat because I'm brown skinned and, you know, I'm not a Catholic and I'm not a Democrat.
How dare you?
Mm. What we've seen in some Republican strategy is that they've been investing over years in trying to reach Latinos. So maybe now they're harvesting what they've sowed.
Arturo Vargas with the Naleo Education Fund says, especially in the West, Latinos are a swing voting bloc. In 2022, while polls show Latinos still favor Democrats, Republicans have closed the gap compared to past elections.
What do you guys think? I think it's definitely an X factor that I think a lot of Democrats didn't see coming. They just thought, like, over the course of the pandemic, we'll throw a couple checks at them, and, you know, we'll say the Republicans are racist and they won't ever vote for them. So a lot of people don't know Blake Masters was born and raised in Tucson, Arizona. That's pretty damn close to the southern border right there, and definitely feeling the ill effects of everything from crime, the border influx, fentanyl, you name it. How it's affected jobs, wages, education systems. And listen, if you don't forget where you came from, a lot of people like Herschel Walker as well, who we're going to hear from next, you know, it's one of those things where the people aren't going to forget about you. And Blake Masters has come back to call and say, like, listen, I grew up in this crap. I want to fix it. I'm going to go to Washington, D.C., and I'm actually going to do it. It sounds like it resonated with just who cares about Latinos, just the, all the people that live there. It sounds like, you know, or this message is really hitting it home for them, and they want change.
Democrats don't care about Latinos. They only care about the Latinxes.
Latinx?
There you go. No, now you could say breakfast tacos.
Ooh.
Breakfast tacos. Latinx.
Si se podway.
Si se podway.
Meanwhile, you know, there are more minorities, you know, blacks, Hispanics running for public office as Republicans than like ever before. But the Republicans are racist. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Perfect.
Anyway.
Well, I think things look better than well for, you know, people like Blake Masters and some of the, I guess, inclusive demographics that the left are trying to pin on there. I just think he's run a more of a complete campaign. And like I said, I think he's identified with a lot of the people out there, regardless of their race, religion. Like the lady said, like, I'm brown and Catholic, so they just expect me to be a Democrat. I'm brown and Catholic and I'm not a Democrat.
You'd be surprised how many people who are brown and not Catholic or Catholic that are Republicans, or even how about in New York, some of them that are Democrats that are publicly saying, well, I've never voted Republican before. I'm going to this year for Lee Zeldin because I'm tired of what's going on. I'm tired about not being safe walking out of my house in broad daylight. Like it's what I feel like we're in an election cycle where the amount of Democrats that are looking to vote Republican because of the actual policies, like the policies we know that the Democrats have are horrible, and the Democrats can't run on their policies, so they run on calling us racists, calling us domestic terrorists, and you know, we want to force young girls to have babies. Literally, there are campaign signs in New York for Kathy Hochul that says, Lee Zeldin will force your child to have a baby. I'm not even kidding.
People with IQs that low shouldn't even be allowed to vote anyway.
Right.
So, or run a la John Fetterman. I mentioned Herschel Walker. He was on the campaign trail yesterday. Can I just say something about another one of our great friends? Herschel Walker is one of our great friends, but Mike Collins. So historically, it's probably pre-Civil War the last time Georgia 10 voted Democrat. Mike Collins is going to walk to 75-80% win in that district. And he knows it. So he told us last time he was on the show, he was going to be moseying around the district, which he fought for and will earn a big victory on November 8th there. But he's hitting the road. He spent the day on Friday during the day, he went out and campaigned with Ted Cruz and spoke for Herschel Walker at an event in Georgia. And we'll hear a small clip from that. And then Mike flew up to Ohio and did an event with J.D. Vance and Madison Jesioto. And as soon as he's done with that, he's going to be with J.R. Majewski this weekend before he heads out to Arizona. He's going to do a little campaigning with Kerry Lake and Blake Masters there. So I think that's really awesome that another one of those candidates, like Mike was involved in like local politics. He was the Republican chair of his area of Georgia before he ran for Georgia 10 in the previous election and didn't make the final cut. And now he's the Republican nominee there in the 2022 midterms. But it was like he almost didn't know how to do like a formal interview. Remember the first time we had it on? He's like trying to set up his camera and like fix his tie and setting up the background. But I tell you what, he's one of the most down-to-earth, real. He is ready to go to work. Being a small business owner, well, probably medium-sized business owner, he said he had a pretty large fleet of trucks. But the fact of the matter is he's seen what America Last policies, how they've decimated small businesses like his and how rising gas prices are making it hard to own and operate in places like Georgia. So it's just good to see another one of our great friends out there on the road. And we'll be looking forward to having him back shortly after election night. If not on election night, I texted him and told him we were doing a live show. I said, listen, if you just want to jump in via phone call at any time, he hearted it. I don't know what that means. That might mean yes. Might mean he likes the idea
of it. Does heart mean yes, everybody on social media? When you heart something after you ask a question, does that mean yes? Or just like, oh, I like it, but we'll see. Like, what does that mean?
I'm acknowledging it. That's about it.
Acknowledging it with love.
I like it. So, but yeah, let's hear Herschel Walker dunk on Raphael Warnock a little bit for being, well, he calls him a fake Christian. I definitely like that.
In a church of one of the greatest black leaders ever lived named Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King says it's not the color of your skin, but the content of your character. But all he talks about is the color of your skin. And I said, sir, have you looked in the Bible? Have you looked in the Bible? Had God anytime talked about the color of anybody's skin? No, he hasn't. All he talks about is your heart, though. He talks about the heart. And he talks about how can you ask me to forgive you if you can't forgive your fellow brother? He don't want to forgive no one that does it. He don't believe in redemption. But he's a pastor. So what? He's a minister. He's a pastor. He's a senator. He ain't done good at either one of them yet. So I'm saying, sir, it's time for you to get back in the cooker and let God work on you. Because God can do some amazing things. He's done it to me, and he can do it to you, too.
I love when he speaks. I do.
They are so terrified of him. Yeah. And
they're going after him. I mean, anything. They paid for this abortion, paid for that abortion. I mean, they are completely full-blown terrified of him, where anything they can drum up, they will.
It's so funny. I saw the one of the best memes I saw over the course of this week. It's the one that you see for a lot of memes. It's like the lady, she's got like the coffee cup right up to her lips and she's rolling her eyes so hard it looks like it hurts. And It says, anytime Gloria Allred comes in to represent someone making up stories about Republican candidates a week before the elections, because I guess she's representing the newest anonymous person who said that Herschel Walker asked if he could pay for her abortion.
Anonymous sources.
Yeah. So I just, when Gloria Allred gets involved, it's just for shock value. She'll be on like every single MSNBC and CNN and all those other bullshit Fredo show and just talking about, oh my God, he campaigns on this, but he's really that. And nobody cares.
Another thing, what they're doing, you bring up the memes, the Fetterman memes, and I've been sharing a lot of them on, especially on Facebook, and people are loving them. You know, it's all in good fun, whatever. And obviously, but also to point out that this individual should not be in politics any longer. He is a sitting lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania. He had a stroke. It definitely affected him. He cannot clearly think. We've seen that in the debates. I mean, you know, 2 minutes of just gaffe after gaffe after gaffe. I think even longer than that. Anyway, so hey, when I'm posting.
Alan.
Let's stop you there.
He's for fracking.
Yeah.
And for fracking.
I stand. I support fracking. I stand retarded Shrek. Anyway, I'm going with that is so people like the trolls attacking me for the Fetterman memes and then actually saying, well, at least he can make a sentence and we can understand him, unlike Herschel Walker. And then I go back and go, oh, whoa, 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 pump the brakes there. Slow down, high speed. So what you're saying is you're a racist piece of shit Democrat, racist, right? Because you're now going after a black man from the deep South who has a deep Southern drawl, because you're, so basically you're calling him the field and the house N-bomb because your big retarded white Shrek had a stroke and can't, and loves criminals, hates the police, and lies about fracking because he's desperate. So you're going to bring up, you're going to talk about speech and talk about how a black man from the deep South speaks. And have you listened to the two? Have you listened to them? I'm pretty sure you could tell which one is articulate, smart, and should be involved in making, in legislating for us in this country. Like and I've had multiple people go that route. And of course, their profile pictures, they got the Black Lives Matter. I love it. One of them had the Black Lives Matter flag in the background, and they're talking shit about Herschel Walker because that was one of my responses. Refer to Prof Pick, Black Lives Matter, idiot. Like, oh, really? This is what we're doing now. This is what we're doing.
Yeah, it just seems like, Democrat playbook, insurrectionist, election denying, abortion abolishist.
Not to cut you off, Rome, but I'm sure we'll end up maybe talking about this, but I spoke about it briefly yesterday about this whole Paul Pelosi thing and Joe Biden coming right out of the gate, blaming the GOP, saying that they use the same chant as January 6th protesters, and January 6th inspired the attack on Paul Pelosi when in fact he was home probably with his gay lover doing something with hammers, and someone got loud and called the police and caught them. Like, that's this is what the White House is putting out.
When you try to tie Donald Trump to a Canadian citizen who's homeless, has a long documented history of criminal record and mental health issues, wandering. And
blowing Paul Pelosi.
Fantastic.
It was hammer time.
You know what? I can't believe you just said that, because I'm segueing to another one of our day one guests who on occasion has come on our show dressed similarly to the former pop star. Who am I talking about? There's only one biggest Jesus piece in the game.
Oh no.
John Gibbs.
No.
Who we love. Hey, he's a fan of Crush Velour jumpsuits. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. He has a massive Jesus piece and actually dropped a soft A N-bomb on the show last time. I thought it resonated well with our listenership. He made the big time, though, last night. Started out on Steak for Breakfast, joined Tucker Carlson to talk about one of the biggest issues in Michigan. Let's hear it.
Weeks, voters in Michigan will get a chance to vote up or down on something called Proposal 3. It's an amendment.
It's a big one.
Democrats like Gretchen Whitmer are pitching this as a pro-choice law because it guarantees, quote, reproductive freedom to, quote, every individual. So it's a response to the overturning of Roe v. Wade. But that's not actually what it is.
Nope.
It's not just about abortion. Proposal 3 redefines reproductive freedom for every individual to include chemical and physical castration of children, gender ideology.
Got to read the
Federalist
print.
Margot Cleveland reports the amendment would give girls the constitutional right to be sterilized by undergoing hysterectomies without their parents' knowledge or consent. The right to sexually mutilate children. John Gibbs is running for Congress from the state of Michigan. He joins us tonight to assess. Mr. Gibbs, thank you so much for coming on. Do you think that most voters in Michigan understand what this is?
I think that most voters actually do not understand what this is. I think the number that do understand it is increasing because the great pro-life groups throughout the state are doing great work to get the word out. I'm getting the word out on the campaign trail, what it's all about, because my opponent aggressively supports this. But I think most voters don't. We probably will get them by Election Day. It looks good. But right now, a lot of people simply look at it and it says freedom and rights. And a lot of people like, quote unquote, freedom and rights without even That's knowing right. the background behind it. So they're going to go ahead and say yes. So a lot of people don't yet, but we're going to change that.
I think that's really smart. Why is it so important for Democrats to sexually mutilate children? Why can't we leave children alone? Why is it always the kids they're focused on?
Because I think if you look at what their plans are, the parents are a barrier to controlling society. If they can get directly to the kids at the schools and remove the parents from the equation, it's much easier for them to control the development of children, their education, their ideology, et cetera. And that's what this Prop 3 does, is it removes parental consent, Tucker, as you said, for both sterilization as well as gender change operations, as they call it. And so you wouldn't even have to have a parental notification for those. It's a really, really serious issue. So, yeah, they're trying to get the parents out of the way so they can have easier access and control over the kids.
Why would parents ever, even people who define themselves as pro-choice, why would they ever put up with politicians stealing their authority over their own children?
Good question.
You know, we actually see some progress in this area. You know, when you talk to people on the streets and you say, are you supporting Prop 3? They might say yes. But then if you say, did you know it allows your children to receive these kind of procedures without even having any consent from you whatsoever? Do you think that's a good thing? And almost everybody that answers that says no. The number of people that are learning about that every day is increasing. So that's something to be optimistic about. But most parents, I think, actually don't support that. As long as we can make them understand that's in the proposal in Prop 3 here, I think we're going to be in very good shape.
I hope so, too. And I hope that your campaign is in good shape. You've run a great campaign. John Gibbs, we're honored.
You know, he certainly has. And we've been there with John Gibbs since day one. He's made a couple big concessions to find time to get on her show, and we want to have him on. And he's been one of our favorite guests. Listen, he was the assistant secretary of HUD. He had a major position within our government, within the Trump administration. He gave up his federal job after Joe Biden took office and went and parlayed that into the amazing campaign he's run in Michigan 3 right now. And I actually feel like down the road, John Gibbs could be a senator for Michigan. I really do.
Absolutely.
He does carry that, you know, work ethic and just the way he, I mean, extremely unforgiving, devout Christian, pro-life, and he's a story that's just, he's a product of where he came from. He had to work super hard. His mom's just a big sweetheart, and we've just got to know him. You know, he's one of our favorites.
Oh yeah.
So and it's absolutely great every time he comes on the show, and we're wishing him the best, and cannot wait to see him have major success on Election Day. Now, I saved the best for last because we all love her, but before we get to her, no, actually, let's just jump right in. I got a thrice. Carrie Lake was doing a lot of stuff yesterday. She did several campaign events. She dropped haymakers on the local media. She shit posted about Liz Cheney, and she went on a little bit of what I like to call an endorse-a-thon. Did you guys see that?
Yes. Doug Mastriano, right?
Well, not just her. Let's let's hear who Carrie Lake endorsed yesterday. She had a couple quick hitters. Let's hear it.
Yes. Hey, Michigan, it's Carrie Lake. I'm running for governor of Arizona, but I wanted to reach out to you and talk to you about your governor's race in your state. Gretchen Whitmer has done more to harm her citizens and children in that state than just about any governor in American history. I encourage you to vote for the true outsider and patriot. Please vote for Tudor Dixon on November 8th. Tudor will be an incredible leader for Michigan. She has my complete and total endorsement.
You know, she was on Laura Ingraham last night, and I messaged her when they went to a commercial break, and I said, why don't you ever bring sushi on those shows? That's her pug. And I said, you like to show her to us because I'm a pug enjoyer. Mm-hmm. I have a pug at home, and I don't know if I ever mentioned it to Alan. One of the first times, not the first time, but one of the first times we've interviewed her, you know, she's in that room that she's always in. It looks like a family room. There's all the blurred pictures in the back, and there's a big couch that she sits on, or an oversized chair. And the dog was just laying across the top of the back with like his two legs on the left hand side.
Like, yeah, I'm here. I'm a fat pug.
And I'm like looking at it. I was like, is that a real dog? And the dog like looks at the camera. And she's like, yeah, this is my pug. This is Sushi. But yeah. So, and then last time I had mentioned it, the last couple times she was on. So last time she actually went and got her instead of putting earrings on because she said she forgets that we're not video on our show, but she was trying to throw on some earrings. I said, why don't you just go get your pug instead? And she brought her and sat her down with her before she started talking to us. But you mentioned that she is ready for Doug Vember, and dropped a big endorsement there as well. Let's hear it.
Is Carrie Lake, and I am running for governor of Arizona, but I'm reaching out to you today about the governor's race in your state. Like us here in Arizona, you guys know what it's like to have a coward seeking election that refuses to debate. We can't afford cowardice right now. I ask you to vote for Doug Mastriano. Mm. America is in desperate need of strong governors like Ron DeSantis and Kristi Noem. And I know that with America First governors like myself and Doug Mastriano added to the list, we can strengthen our states and pull back power from the federal government. Please vote for Doug Mastriano on November 8th. He has my complete and total endorsement.
I like it. And you know, it's pretty funny. I saw these ads dropping during the show yesterday, and it was just so many moving parts of people coming in and out. As soon as I got in my car, I go back and I start sharing these on social media. And I said, if you fucking want to know what, she was at her home recording all these things today. We honestly probably could have had her jump on for a quick 5-minute hitter, but there was just so much stuff coming at us. I was kind of in the awe of, and it's weird because Doug's been on the show 5 times. Carrie's done the same show as Doug 3 times. So that would have been 4. And, you know, it's one of those things where, she was just working yesterday and talked about it.
It's go time.
Yeah, one of her final messages is she actually had a message for the people of Arizona as she was concluding her endorsement. Let's hear her selling points to the people of Arizona.
Arizona, it's time to vote. I've spent over a year traveling our great state being interviewed by you for the job of governor. You are the hiring manager, and I am applying for a job. I'm ready to work for you. When I'm governor, I will eliminate all taxes on groceries and rent, and I won't stop there. I will cut taxes every single year as governor. But I can't do any of this without your help. Voting is underway right now, and I want to clarify some confusion. If you want your vote to be counted on election night, you can either mail your ballot in early, take your ballot in early, or vote early in person. If you choose to walk your ballot in on election day, your vote will be counted in the days following the election. The most important thing is that you make a plan to vote and that you make sure your friends and family do the same. Together, we will win this election and safeguard freedom in Arizona for generations to come.
You know, I really want to move to Arizona. I just don't want to work in Arizona.
I know people in Arizona that want to get out because they talk about the water shortage and the extreme heat. I don't know. I know two people that were from, one was from New York and one was lived in Florida, actually, and they moved to Arizona and they want to move out. I agree everything that Carrie Lake says. I just hate the early voting thing, and I get it. Oh, if you're voting on election day and they're going to count the days after, that's ridiculous to me.
Yeah, that's a paid GOP spot right there. Yesterday was the start of early voting, or I think Monday is the start of early voting. So, you know, it's one of those things we've kind of just laid it out there for everybody and gave them all 36 flavors of the midterm elections this week. And as we are concluding the show today, I did see the guys from Trafalgar jumped on. We had Robert Cahaly and Matt Towery. Matt Towery's from Insider Advantage and another polling thing. Well, they jumped on with Boomer Sweat Sean Hannity, and I think as kind of a recap of everything we've done today, they gave their midterm election preview, as now we're only 10 days out. So in our last audio clip of the weekend, let's hear it.
States, Robert, we'll give you the first crack at it. Which ones, if you had to pick today, 11 days outside the election, which states would you predict go red on election day?
I definitely think you end up with Oz Walker, and I believe that Masters gets over the hump. I think Smiley's in a dogfight and quite possible. I would actually give an edge now to Bullduck winning, and I don't think O'Day gets close enough.
And obviously, J.D. Vance, you don't worry about him. You don't worry about Ron Johnson in Wisconsin.
Right.
All right, Matt, your take.
Okay, well, the incumbents we just talked about, they're all safe. Let's talk about some of these other races. Herschel Walker either gets in a runoff or wins straight up. Arizona Masters was 4 points down in our poll 2 weeks ago for the Fox affiliate in Phoenix. Mm. Now it's 2 points, and Lake is rising so quickly and so strongly as the Republican gubernatorial candidate. I think that could be a sweep, and Masters could win. Let's talk about some of the others. Nevada, as Laxalt clearly is going to win that seat. state. Pennsylvania, I think the bottom is falling out of Fetterman's campaign after that debate. You saw a huge move when we had our poll in Pennsylvania for the Fox affiliate there in Philadelphia. Here's the issue, though. So many people have already early voted in Philadelphia and did not see the debate, which, by the way, our poll showed that Oz won it 54% to 21% among those who saw the debate. I don't know. It's going to be a photo finish in Pennsylvania, partially because so many people had voted before they saw this debate. I think the same day vote and the rest of the vote is going to be extremely weighted in the direction of Oz after that performance by Fetterman.
So there you can unpack it. Between the both of them, they have concluded that we will win 53.5 Senate seats on November 8th.
I think Carrie Lake is going to bring everybody across the finish line in Arizona. She's the key. Carrie Lake is going to bring everybody over the finish line.
We asked her about that and she concurred with you.
Yeah.
She said that she felt like she's running a strong enough campaign to carry the entirety of that ticket over. Although Blake Masters is surging, Abe Hamadeh and Mark Fincham, they both are showing widening margins in the poll, but a lot of it has to do with the success that Carrie Lake's having and has had throughout the course of it. But when you talk about the Senate, I mean, obviously the House looks like a slam dunk. We need to get a big time, blob of new candidates in there and have new House representatives. I'm hoping at least 245 minimum, but to hear people from, and I'm saying this, I rolledly now, trusted poll sources say that they could see likely pass to 53, 54 Senate seats when they start saying people like Don Bulldog look great, that we're going to defend all the seats. And then you're going to see Herschel Walker, Blake Masters, and Adam Lexalt all flip seats as well. That is what I like to hear. That is a mandate against Joe Biden's America Last policies. And that is definitely what we're going to be hitting on as hard as we can. Alan, I know you'll be hitting on it as hard as you can yourself down the road here as we, are definitely in the home stretch last 100 meters now. And we've got the baton. It's up to America First to get this over the finish line. So
yeah, then the real fighting begins once we get the people that we need in these offices on November 8th, then it really begins, and everybody has to stay involved and make sure that these people are serving the way they're supposed to be serving. I can't wait for our election special. I think that's going to be great. I think it's going to be intense. We're all going to be watching and talking about it, and we're in the home stretch. I mean, this is it. Everyone's got to get out and do their part. I'm of course concerned about all the amount of people that voted in Pennsylvania before the debate and the Google search of how can I change my vote after I mailed it in. That says a lot, and that unfortunately means, well, one, you're not going to be able to change your vote, but you can at least tell people who to go out and vote for, and that would be obviously Doug Mastriano and, of course, Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania. So
yeah, you have to counteract your shitty vote with a good vote.
Yeah, way to go. Way to go, shit bird. Now go out and tell people to vote the right way.
Yeah, no, that's the absolute truth right there. Alan, if we're looking to find your show, the Great Divide, or any of the great things you're doing right now, social medias, anything like that, where are we finding you?
Just follow me over on Truth Social at the Great Divide Podcast, or you could Google the Great Divide Podcast with Alan Jacoby. The best place right now, I think, is to go follow me on Truth Social, the Great Divide Podcast. Verified account, just hit the follow. And everywhere you're listening and watching now, hit the subscribe. Hit the like, share it. I see there's a lot of people watching on Rumble today, a lot on Facebook and Getter and some on YouTube, actually. So just hit the like and subscribe. Help us beat the conservative hating algorithms and help us get the message out there.
And of course, you can find Steak for Breakfast across every downloadable platform. Obviously, if you're watching the show today, find the link to the Rumble channel, subscribe to that as well, share the episode after we're done in just a minute here. And as far as Steak for Breakfast goes, iTunes, Spotify, get in there, hit that check mark, subscribe to the show, give it a rating once you listen to it. It's beyond me to think that you won't enjoy the content. I mean, in addition to railing on the government, we do a little bit of railing on people in our own political atmosphere too. And I think it makes for great content. So, there's a reason we're rated as high as we have been, even though there are a lot of haters and losers out there. And we're going to continue to bring you that content that you'll only find here on when we do Steak for Breakfast and on the weekends with our great friend Alan Jacoby, when he does the great Steak Breakfast with us. So for everyone that's been watching today, thanks for tuning in. And of course, you can catch us on Tuesday. Alan's on just about every day of the week doing something. So make sure you're following him and getting involved with his shows. And what do you think, guys? We'll see you next week.
Yep. We will see you all next week. We'll see you soon.
Take care.